Welcome to Give Him Hell, Brigham. Jeff, my internet is spotty. I think there's a storm in Utah County right now, and I'm at my parents' house, and the Wi-Fi is not great, so I'm using the hotspot on my phone. And but so hopefully this recording goes okay. It hopefully goes as good as our kind of preseason recording that we did yesterday. You and I, we had a we tried on our Discord server, which if you have not gotten on there, go to giveemhellbrigham.com, click the Discord button at the top of the screen and at the top of the page in the menu. And come join us on Discord. It's been really fun, like having the constant feedback of like having the chat room. We did like a clubhouse style thing where you and I moderated a conversation. People could raise their hand, like a call-in show, and share their thoughts. We threw that on as a bonus episode yesterday. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I'm excited to use that format for our post-game shows throughout the season.
I've really enjoyed the Discord. What is Discord? Okay, folks, because Discord, maybe you don't know about it. Discord is, it's like a chat room. It's like Slack. It's a messaging channel, server, whatever you want to call it. And the BYU, the Give 'Em Hell Brigham Discord channel is popping. There's always people there. There's always a conversation going on about BYU. You know, there's always people who are willing to talk about it. And it's fun. It's a lot of fun. We do some cool stuff there. So if you are not a subscriber to the Give 'Em Hell Brigham newsletter yet, that is one of the primary reasons that you should become a subscriber, is because of the access to that Discord channel. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's so, and we've got, let's see, different channels that we have. So we have some free stuff. We have some just like for the VIPs, like you said. We've got like a general channel. We've got game thread. So we'll be able basically chat room during the thread, kind of all or during the games, all contained. We've got football specific BYU hoops, other BYU sports, college football, college hoops, other college sports. We've got jobs posting and hunting. So if your family needs help, you need help finding a job, or you're trying to hire somebody, we'll try to network, help you there. We have a general Q&A. We've got food stuff. We got a Cougars in the Pro stuff. We've got me a Beams channel that we just threw up there. So it's been a lot of
It's a
fun.
lot like it's a lot like what like Cougar Board used to be. Like Cougar Board wasn't always what it is today. And and there's still good that comes from Cougar Board. Like there are some people who are going to say it's just a cesspool of the worst and blah 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 blah. I still check the top 10 just about every day. I don't I think I have an old account. I haven't logged into an account. I don't post. I still check it. I know that you're active on Cougar Board. Like Cougar
The
Board's still great.
I'm gonna log into my account, which I have not logged in a very long time. I don't even know if I have the password still. And I'm gonna see, is your pet username Rakoto 10, Rakudu, whatever it is?
Yes, there's another Rakuto that once upon a time I learned, and I think people think that's me, but Rakuto 10 is who I am.
If you search your name on there, actually, it comes up with a TikTok that you a tweet that you
Yeah, I
posted on
think that
there.
I somebody has pointed that out to me that you can search your name, and I've done that before just because you know I'm a narcissist. I like my name, and I appear like people talk about me on Cougar Board. But anyway, I do have a login, and I think it is Rakutu 10, but I don't know. I don't know. It's been a long, long time.
It looks like September 5th, 2012.
Yeah, so there you go. Almost 10 years. And anyway, whatever. All I'm saying is that the Discord channel, there's a lot of different things. Like there's that community feel that like what you get out of Cougar Board, but without all of the other craziness. And maybe if we grow to, you know, as many subscribers as are that are on Cougar Board, if that's how many are on the Discord channel, maybe it does get a little bit crazy. But the thing I like about it, Garrett, is that you and I are the mods. So if it gets a
I
little bit
will
nuts.
kick you the hell out of there if you are annoying. That's actually one of the rules. If multiple people complain about you, we'll just kick you out. Like, I don't. We're here to have fun. We're not here to argue. It is a politics-free zone, and it is to enjoy the highest of highs and band together in our deepest of sorrows when BYU wins and loses.
It's true. Now, we are going to dabble into politics right now. Not American politics, but New Zealand politics.
Oh, I love Kiwis. Best, most underrated fruit on the planet.
So, one thing that is interesting, Chris Hipkins, his official title over there in New Zealand is he is the COVID response minister.
Ugh.
And I don't know what exactly that means, but I like it. I think it sounds kind of cool. And he made a mistake today. And it's become a meme in New Zealand. And I hope that maybe we can replicate it and make it the new motto of America. But he was talking about COVID and how it's starting to spread again. And it's, you know, the variants, blah, blah, blah. And he said that it's getting difficult to socially distance. And I think that he was probably doing this as a something with the vaccine. I don't know the context, but he said, it is a challenge in higher density areas for people to get outside and spread their legs when they're surrounded by other people. Well, he meant to say stretch their legs, but he said spread their legs. And so instantly the internet did what the internet does, and they have made the COVID response minister's new motto, spread your legs, not COVID. And I, for one, think that's wonderful.
Oh, gosh.
Spread your legs, not COVID. Now, for those of us who are innocent, and there are many, there's a euphemism there. And if you think about it for more than maybe 10 or 12 seconds or so.
Milliseconds. If it takes you 10 or 12 seconds, then.
It's a kid's show. Like, we don't know how many children are watching, and maybe they don't know yet.
This is like, true.
Ask your mom. I don't know how many, how old was I? I don't know. But we're getting weird, and we're treading a fine line. But for a long time, I had a friend, and we never corrected him. We had a friend, and it really was a friend. I'm not just saying it was a friend. It wasn't me. But I had a friend up until I was like 11 or 12 years old that he thought that having sex was just your parents getting naked and hugging. So like, there might be some people who don't understand the spread your legs euphemism there. I don't know. Yeah. This kid was 12 years old and he just thought it was a hug. I don't know.
Oh, no. Dude, that's hilarious to me.
We've treaded into an area that we don't often go on the Give Him Hell Bring Him podcast, but here's the thing, folks. It's late. We're getting tired. We just had a business call. I got to see the real business side of Garrett, of talking strategy and using lots of acronyms. Like, it was great. We had a wonderful business call with the potential business partner. And really the long takeaway from the call is that we need more subscribers. So all of this is to say, spread your legs, don't spread COVID, and please subscribe to Give Him Hell Bring Him the newsletter, because that's what we need.
Yes. And we do have, I think in the next week or so, we will probably reach 200 total subscribers. So not all paid, but 200 total, and on the Discord. And so the Discord's open to everybody. We do have some channels that are kind of sectioned off just for VIPs. And in the post game shows, the VIP subscribers are who the ones we'll let on and talk, but we've got, we should hit 100 people on the Discord server in the next week or so as well. So yeah, things are growing really well. The feedback has been great in terms of the community building. Like, we're trying to build a community here. And part of that community is recognizing our Hellions. Now we had a good run of the Hellion in the week. We got away from our roots and weren't always, you know, requesting those nominations. And occasionally some people would give us one. So we just want to remind you that we're not going to search out every single thing, but if we occasionally see something or someone nominates someone, we will always take care of the Hellion of the Week. So our first Hellion of the Week is Tahima Himuli Jr., which have you seen the Deep Blue videos that BYU has put out? Did you know they started a podcast?
I did know that. Yes.
So in the podcast, y'all should check it out. It's Jerem Jordan hosts it, and it's like hour long interviews with different athletes. So like one of the ones was with, Greg Rubel. They've done other players. So they're former athletes, current athletes. And then one of the ones, the one with Lopa Leotawa was awesome. He snuck in there that Bronco called his mission president and tried to recruit him to Virginia while he was on his mission. What the hell, Bronco? But the one with Hima Himuli was awesome. And it was pretty interesting. He did share that his name is Hima Himuli Jr., even though his dad is Lake Himuli, because in Polynesian culture, you do not name a child after yourself. You name it after a sibling or like a grandpa, whatever, but then you still keep the junior. It's like, and so I guess normally in English, you do the second if it's not like a father's, like if you're named after an uncle, you'd be like Jeff Hansen the second. But in they still just like junior. So that, whatever. But Hema is a producer at BYU TV. He went over there from KSL Sports. He got COVID real bad and was in the hospital and he said things were very close and turned very south, and he is fully recovered now. And so Hema is a great producer. He is great at what he does. He is especially part of his, what he's going at BYU TV to do is to bring a lot more of like Polynesian influence to some of the media and basically, you know, even give some representation to that very, very large segment of our fan base. And that's, I think obviously the Polynesian culture is something that BYU fans are appreciative of. And it, you know, we kind of like, if you watch BYU TV, if you watch BYU Sports Nation or After Further Review or with the pregame show, the postgame show, there's despite the impact, you know, having a Polynesian head coach, multiple Polynesian assistants, having, you know, obviously the incredible history of Polynesian culture at BYU and the significance of the church on the Polynesian islands, like there is not a lot of Polynesian flair. And obviously not saying everything needs to be like hyped up, you know, Polyville, whatever, like it's not turned into the Polynesian media center, but like, you know, it's, he is part of why he's there is to bring that flair and kind of showcase that. And that is meaningful. And that's really cool. So shout out to Hema for being healthy. Other Hellion of the week. I don't know if you know, I put Cam Harper down on here. Hopefully certain people don't listen to this, but Cam is a good friend of mine. He texted me. He's in the young men's in his ward. And he texted me that dodgeball was the best young men's activity because dodgeball is fun. And then you get to throw balls at the kids that are annoying in your preschool or teacher's quorum, or whatever it is. And so the fact that he openly said that is hilarious to me. So shout out to Cam. And I like was trying hard not to laugh when I read his text after we'd already started recording. So good job, Cam. I debated even saying his name or not. Maybe I should go back and bleep it out. So hopefully there's probably no listeners in, or maybe the parents of those kids who deserve to be hit are probably not listening. And if you are listening to this, you're probably like, yeah, my kid deserved it.
Yeah. I mean, I was in the young man's, here's the tale. I was in the scouts and then the deacon's quorum. And then I got released after about 2 years. So after most of my deacons, I came in and there was 13 deacons and they had all turned 12 within like a 3 or 4 month span. So I was in there with pretty well their entire tenure as the deacon's quorum. Then I got called as a Sunday school teacher teaching 14-year-olds. Cool. And then I just have graduated, and as they have graduated and gotten older, I have taught the 14, 15, 16, and now I am teaching 17 and 18-year-olds. I've taught the same group of boys for the entire time that I have lived in this house. And so that's like 5+ years now. And they're great kids. I've learned to really, really love them. But I can say with absolute certainty that the ones who need to be hit with a dodgeball, they know who they are. The ones who need to be hit with a dodgeball, their parents know who they are. And they aren't going to be offended if you hit them with the dodgeball. How do I know this? Not because I've hit them with the dodgeball, but I have let many profanities fly directed in the direction of several kids in moments of weakness. And those parents have said, you know what? We're the ones who are really sorry, Brother Hansen, that this is where you ended up getting to. I also hit one in the face with a snowball and his face was a little bloody. So he got sent home from mutual that night with a bloody face. And I felt like I was responsible. I didn't feel like I was responsible. And so I sought out that parent that next Sunday and I wanted to apologize. And they said, Jeff, do you know how many times I've wanted to hit my own kid with a snowball? Thank you. They thanked me. So I get it. And I think that Brother Cam Harper, we can all relate, and you're right. Hitting kids with a dodgeball, it's more satisfying than it should be.
That is a hellion.
And, yeah, absolutely.
And now that we have our hellions, we are all hallions. Because Jaren Hall was named the quarterback, and that is good. We wrote about this. You probably wrote about this on 24/7. I did our newsletter on Monday on Give Him Hell, Brigham was about this. Jaren Hall is good. Like, I know people are worried, and the concern about his health is there, right? Like, it's, he got two concussions in the two games that he started in 2019, and then now he is, you know, misses all of last year with a hip injury. right? And so it's like, it, you're like, is his body going to hold together? But you watch back in like that USF game in that first half against Utah State, dude, he was dynamite. Like with his legs running on the ground, he was throwing ball. The touchdown throw to Dax Milne against USF was a beautiful throw. And then he had, I remember there was like a 10-yard, is a throw that was very underrated by fans because it didn't like look great, but it was the rollout throw across his body. He had for like, it was for like a 12-yard gain or something like that against Utah State, rolling to his left, throwing like on the money. Like that's not an easy throw, and he looks comfortable doing it. And we saw a similar throw at the tail end of the highlights from the scrimmage last week on Saturday. And so there was no surprise that it was Jaren Hall. I think everybody knew this. I think, I mean, back in the summer, you and I kind of thought like, you know, that it would be Conover. I think in March, we kind of, that was like our bold prediction. And then once we got through spring ball, you know, it appeared that Jaren was fully healthy and like that hip wasn't bothering him. And he, you know, he continued to separate himself. And so we thought like, you know, it was Conover was just back home from his mission, nipping at his heels, and maybe he would get, you know, overtake him. And it's, you know, there is a depth chart. They are 1, 2, 3, how separated they are. I don't know. And I think ultimately too, it's, you look at the experience in the program, just the maturity, even throws aside like the maturity in the program of being there. And just, I mean, Conover's not slow. Baylor Romney's not slow. Jaren is fast. And so being able to have that to fall back on is something. So Baylor Romney is number two. Jacob Conover is number three. I think push comes to shove. It's set this way to try to preserve Conover's redshirt if possible. If a quarterback gets hurt and goes down in the third quarter, Baylor Romney is the game manager. You put in the game manager to try to not have things completely fall apart, right? And just keep it glued together, get to the end of the game. And then I think if, like, ultimately, if I think Jaren Hall gets hurt, Baylor will finish the game. And then it's going to say, okay, it is open ball. Like, it is open, you know, for the rest of this, like, the next week at practice, it's going to be like, okay, we are, you know, open. Who's actually going to get the start? Like, what's going to happen? And we may see Jacob Conover get trotted out there, or depending on who it may be. I mean, you may see where it's like, okay, well, it's Idaho State. We're going to play Jaren because, or Baylor, because we're not going to waste one of Conover's four games against Idaho State. We don't need to. Right. And so it's, you know, there is some gamesmanship there. I think, you know, it's not like a huge gap between anyone. I think BYU could win with anyone, but it's just the dynamic ability of Jaren's legs just add an extra dimension. And it is his, fourth year in the program? Because he got home from his mission in 2018 and redshirted, and then played in 2019, got hurt, and then 2020 had his COVID year where he was basically a player coach for the whole season, just kind of at Roderick's side the whole time, didn't suit up for anything, but was listed as the number two the whole season, even though he wasn't even in pads. And so it's, you know, just his time in the program. It is his time to fly. And that video, did you see, you saw the video that they put out?
Yeah, I
bought chain. Right. Like he is wearing like the video. It's like when he was wearing a gold chain in like his media interviews. And then the video of him when they announced he's like QB1, it's like he's got the mustache. He just spins the ball. Like he has the look in his eyes. Like he's got that swagger about him where he's just like, I know I'm good. I don't care what you think. I'm going to go play and I'm going to show you what I can do. And that is like,
he's really good. He's really, really good. And we need to talk about his running game because that's what makes him really good. Like he can throw, and I think he's really going to surprise people who maybe don't remember what he looked like in 2019, or we just didn't see enough of it in 2019. He can throw. Like there's no question. He can make any of the throws he's going to be asked to make. His arm strength is exceptional. I don't say this lightly. It's going to rival Zach's arm strength. Like he can throw the ball, but it's his legs that makes him so dynamic. And I wrote about this on 24/7 today because people are worried about his injury history. I hope that, you know, I've seen comments. I hope that the coaches only call one or two designed quarterback runs. I hope that Jaren protects his body. I hope he, you know, blah, 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 blah. The same kind of stuff that you heard with Taysom Hill after, you know, the first two or three of his injuries. And I understand the argument. right? Like, Jaren's got to protect himself, and the coaches need to protect Jaren as much as they can. But what I wrote about was, think of duck hunting. I don't know how, Garrett, if you duck hunt, I think you hunt. Your dad.
I have gone duck hunting before.
And so you think of a duck hunt in like a swamp, right? And you go the night before, you set up decoys, you get your blind set up, you maybe take a boat, whatever, you wear your wetsuit, whatever you need to do, put your camo on. You go into that blind and you have your calls and you start calling in ducks. Now imagine trying to duck hunt without the gun, right? Like, you got to call those ducks right into the blind with you. You're not going to be successful. And I know that's obvious and kind of a dumb analogy, but what is the moral? You're not going to go duck hunting without a gun. Like, you're not going to take your most effective weapon at hunting ducks and leave it in the truck. You are going to bring your gun. Does that make the hunt a little bit more dangerous? Well, of course it does. Like, the gun is what could kill somebody, is going to kill a duck. The gun has some inherent danger with it. But you're going to do it because that's what makes duck hunting effective for you. It's not an apples to apples comparison, which is a stupid thing to say. We've talked about it. Why can't fruit be compared? But taking away Jaren's legs and saying, don't run, or we're going to go out of our way to not call running plays, is taking away his duck hunting gun. What makes right. him special, while he can make every throw, it's his legs that make him the potential to be elite. He yeah. is so fast. Watch that USF game. Anybody. Not only is he fast, he runs like a running back. He runs like his dad. He has great vision. He has the ability to one cut, hit a seam like a running back does. He can, his running game is good enough to make up for some of the deficiencies in the blocking schemes. You know, an offensive guard can whiff on a block, and Jaren is good enough to make a guy miss and make a play out of that play anyways.
Yeah. I mean, in the first half against USU, he was 12 of 16 for 214 yards, 75%, and had 7 carries, 54 yards, 2 TDs. So averaged 7.7 yards a carry. Like, he's sign good. Me up.
Yeah. Well, and I do mostly because I like to shit on the Aggies when we get a chance. That Utah State defense was just awful.
Bad.
They were all the bad. They were, have you seen the video of Shaq? He's getting interviewed by Craig Sager, and Craig Sager says something like, hey, what are you going to do now that you're blah, blah, blah. And Shaq just looks at him. He's like, I'm going to buy you a new suit. That suit is awful. No, it's horrible. It's horror awful. Like, that's how bad that Utah State was. They were horror awful.
Yeah,
they were terrible.
But it's still like, that's not, you don't complete 75% of your passes even against a bad defense unless you are good, right?
And it's well, look, I mean,
we've talked about the drop off, right?
Like, that's the kind of stat line that Zach had last year against crappy teams, and he's playing for the Jets,
right? And we have said, like, right, that the drop off, you know, we're talking about the drop off of you know, the players, you know, from Wilson to Hall, and we've said that you don't think there's a lot of drop off, and some idiots out there said, like, oh, so you're saying he's going to be like the number two or three pick, like, he's definitely going to be for sure. It's like, no, it's, you're talking about playing, you're talking about putting up numbers and winning games in a college system. There are plenty of great college quarterbacks who never play in the NFL. Look at Max Hall, won more games as a starting quarterback than any other quarterback at BYU, and he didn't get drafted, but no, he followed like, up after John Beck.
Yeah.
You know, John Beck was a second round draft pick, you know, and he had a bunch of games. Ty Detmer won a freaking Heisman and got drafted in like the 9th round just because his game did not translate to the NFL.
Yeah. Ty Detmer wasn't a 15-year NFL vet because he was winning games and throwing for 400 yards a game. Like,
right.
He was, and there so, because he was smart.
Right. And yeah, 9th pick, 230th overall. Ty Detmer would have been an undrafted free agent if the draft was today.
Steve Sarkisian never played in the NFL. Like, he was one of the best quarterbacks in BYU history, ever played in the NFL.
And there's plenty of guys that put up great numbers, and you can have, like, no drop-off, right? Or same with John Walsh, right? Like, it's John Walsh, Steve Sarkisian. Like, there is, you know, you put up good numbers and win games, and within the system, there is no drop-off, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you are an NFL talent. That said, Jaren Hall's good. If he puts up good numbers, and if Zach Wilson does well, and Jaren Hall puts up good numbers and wins ball games, and especially with the added flair of his feet, and Zach Wilson does well, and people know, oh, Jaren Hall was coached by Aaron Roderick and in the offseason trained with John Beck. Like, Zach Wilson doing well will boost Jaren Hall's, you know, will boost Jaren Hall's draft status. Does it mean he's going to be a first rounder? No. Does it mean that if he starts the next 3 years and throws for 3,500 or 4,000 yards and rushes for 500 more yards a year for the next 3 years, is he going to get drafted? Yes. Right. Like, Max Hall didn't get drafted because he's like 5'10 and weighed like a buck 85 and he didn't have the strongest arm, right? Like, he didn't have the physical measurables to pop off the page the way John Beck did, being a little bit taller, a little bit bulkier, and having a much stronger arm. Like, John Beck had a freaking cannon. And so if Jaren Hall goes and puts up those numbers and Zach Wilson continues to do well, it's like, oh, you know, scouts, they look at that, right? Like, you look and say, oh, we trust quarterbacks that were coached by Aaron Roderick and John Beck because they knew what they were doing. We talked to this kid. We can tell he knows what he's doing. He can make all of the throws and he's a good athlete. Like, you know, maybe he gets drafted in like the fourth round. I don't know. Like, but the potential the NFL, is there.
The NFL's a different era too, right? Like, but this is the kind of performance that that Jaren would have to put on in order to be drafted. Baker Mayfield is 6'1", 215 pounds. Like, Jaren Hall is 6'1", 205. Russell Wilson is 5'11", 215. Kyler Murray is 5'10", 207. He would have to put up the kind of numbers that Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield and Russell Wilson did during their last seasons, you know, their senior seasons at their respective schools. But yeah, Jaren Hall could get a shot. But for every Kyler Murray or Baker Mayfield that is bananas good and wins the Heisman and ends up being an NFL draft pick, there's a whole bunch of college quarterbacks who are very, very effective. I have nightmares still to this day about Bradley Van Pelt just destroying BYU in a Colorado State uniform. And as far as I know, I think he played for the Broncos for a year or two, but didn't really get a sniff. Like, he never really was an NFL guy. There are so many good college quarterbacks that don't make it to the league. Christian Stewart had a great year. He didn't even pretend like he was going to be a pro prospect. Riley Nelson is good. He wasn't a pro. Like, everybody knew he was never going to be a pro, but he was good. He could move the ball and win games.
So, yeah, I mean, I just popped in on looking at Sport Reference and looking at the 2019 college football passing leader. Skip 2020 because it's weird, right? Obviously, Joe Burrow led the country in passing with 5,600 yards, whatever. It's like, yeah, Cole McDonald from Hawaii. He threw for 4,200 yards and 33 touchdowns. That was a great quarterback. He's not playing in the NFL. Shane Buechele was great at SMU, was meh at Texas. He's not playing in the NFL. Like, you got, you know, Buckshot Calvert from Liberty. Dude, I'd take that dude on my team. Dude, I forgot about him. For his name, like, Chris Robinson was the starting quarterback at Florida Atlantic, right? You ever heard of Caleb Barker, the starting quarterback at Troy? Nope. He threw for 3,700 yards, 30 touchdowns, and 10 interceptions. I'd take that.
Yeah.
But he was just not a good, you know, he's just not a rushing, you know, he's just not, you know, a great pro prospect, but that doesn't mean you're not a very, very good college quarterback.
Yep. Completely agree. So Jaren's number one, Baylor two, Conover three. There's some fuzzy lines between two and three. The rest of the depth chart doesn't come out till Monday. Just real quick, I don't want to delve too much into it, Garrett, but I'm interested. I mean, there's four real battles, I think, and it really depends on how you want to dissect it. But in my mind, there are four, maybe five, if you split the defensive line into tackles and ends, different position battles that we're not going to find out who the starters are until Monday when the game notes come out for the week. I want to hear your prediction. So offensive guard, who are the two offensive guards who start in your mind?
Oh.
I mean, Clark Barrington is probably.
Yeah, it's going to be Barrington. I'm thinking at the other side, it's probably going to be Connor Pay.
And I think I'd like it to be Connor Pay. I feel like Tukuafu maybe gets the nod because of a little bit more experience. I think Pay is probably better, but I could see Tukuafu being slotted next to him. Tukuafu plays a lot better when he gets to play alongside James Empey. I'm gonna go with Tukuafu, but I kind of want to agree with you. I think I would pick Pay personally. Defensive line, just go straight. Let's assume a four.
And we'll start with at the tackle position. So we talked about the guard tackle positions. Blake Freeland's moving to the left side. He's going to be left tackle. We're saying Braden Keim is going to be on the right side. Or who is going to be the other tackle?
Harris Lachance.
Okay. But Keim is the third tackle, and he'll probably get some run on both sides as kind of being one of the next guys off the bench.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So I think the top seven are going to be Freeland, Barrington, Empey, Pay, Lachance, and then Tukuwafu, the second guy in the interior three spots, or maybe Pay, one of those two, right? And then Braden Keim will be the edge, right? The tackle coming in on either side.
And Braden Keim isn't a sexy name. He's a walk-on, a former basketball guy, like out of Springville. He was really kind of an unknown dude. There's a lot of excitement about him within the program. Like, there are people who think he is going to be very, very good. So, while we may not know a ton about him, there's reason to be optimistic about his potential.
Right. And we also, there's also guys that can play inside, like Cade Parrish is no slouch, right? Like, he had P5 offers coming out of Snow, and BYU was short on scholarships. I don't know how many kids are in his family or whatever. I think it was, BYU is affordable, that if you get any type of like Pell Grant or anything like that, it basically covers tuition. And obviously, Built Bar is there. So he was like, hey, like, I can make it work to go to BYU, and be close to family or whatever. So he's not a slouch either. And he has JUCO experience. He can play.
What's cool is that Pell Grant money now just gets to go into his pocket, because Built, while covering tuition, is not a scholarship.
Correct. And so
he still gets all that Pell Grant money. So good for him.
Yep. And so,
for all of them.
Yeah. So it is exciting there. So he will be in there. Who else would you say is kind of that next?
Campbell Barrington, to me, he's really going to step up. I've heard positive feedback on him so far. I've heard good things about Brock Gunderson, that he looks good coming off his mission. And then Dylan Rollins on the outside. He's young. He's raw. He reminds me a lot of Blake Freeland during his freshman year. Blake Freeland, he made immense strides as from week to week to week. If he would have started week one, it would have been a shit show. Like, he was not ready to go, but he just progressed so quickly. And I think Rollins needs to do the same. By the time BYU played, Boise in week seven or whatever that was, Freeland started and played really, really well. And it's just been that same kind of trajectory for him since that moment. I think Rollins would have to have that same kind of progression that is just almost exponential in order to play like Blake Freeland. But he really reminds me of that fresh out of Harriman High School Blake Freeland in terms of how raw he is, but the potential is there. I feel good. I feel good about the offensive line. A lot of people don't. I do. The depth is a little bit worrisome. So if there's, two or three injuries, you're a little bit concerned. But the emergence of guys like Keim, the addition of Parrish, even Hunter Hill, if he's able to find a waiver and somehow make it so that he can play, that's a guy who's been playing college ball. I think the depth is there. I'm mostly curious about the scheme under Coach Funk. I have a lot of faith in Coach Funk, but until we see it on the field, we don't know what it looks like. So I feel good.
I haven't heard anything. I'm interested to see how Donovan Hanna plays out on the offensive line. He's a little smaller. So Keim, kind of the reason that he's so excited is because he's listed at 6'8", 300. You can't coach being a 6'8" tackle, right? And you have the reach. And if you have an ounce of athletic ability and some strength, and what's about you, can become a very serviceable tackle. Where Donovan Hanna, there's something about the tight end that converts to an offensive lineman that is always
the Joe Tukuwafu.
Right. And so, and Hanna's about the same size, right? He's 6'4". He's up to 295 pounds now. He was coached by Max Hall and Dennis Pitta in high school, down at ALA Queen Creek. Was Pitta coaching then? They may have overlapped a year. Pitta may have started the next year. But they're now, and Ty Detmer's on that staff as well. So Ty, Max, and Dennis Pitta are all on the same coaching staff together.
What a world.
And so he had almost 1,000 yards receiving and 10 touchdowns his senior year. And then 30 tackles and 4 sacks and limited playing time, whatever. And then he was also an All-State basketball player who averaged 19.6 points and 11.9 rebounds as a senior. And then as a junior, averaged 15.5 points and 13 rebounds as a junior. But like, he is an athlete. And, you know, as a tight end, I was kind of like, I don't know. Cause when he got recruited, it was like, he didn't weigh that much.
He was like 220. He was small.
Yeah. He like, it was very much like a, you are kind of a slower wide receiver kind of thing. Like, I was like, oh, you slap him up to 300. You're like, okay, we slapped 70 pounds on a guy that was a tight end who is athletic enough to average a double double playing basketball. Now I'm intrigued. Now, can you, you know, show me something? And that's, you know, it is kind of like how Blake Freeland went from being a quarterback to now playing tackle. You know, there is some progression that has to happen, and you don't become a good old lineman overnight, but I am intrigued.
Yep, I agree. Real quick, defensive line, who are your, let's assume a 4-man front just because we need the names. Who are your 4 guys?
The 4 guys are going to be Batty and Leotel on the outside and Ken Haas and Nasir Mahe on the inside will be the 4 that try to, or at least I think, get the most reps out the gate.
Yeah, I think that's probably there.
And who else do you think is going to be in? Who's the rotation working
Gabe
in?
Summers, Earl Tuioti Mariner,
Fisher Jackson.
I hope so, man. I mean, he's got the potential to be really good.
His name is pops up. And it's weird because Summers and Jackson are both, again, like both walk-ons. So it's like, is that concerning? Maybe. Yes. Like, why are the walk-ons names popping up? Or is it just... We found some guys that hit a growth spurt on their mission and they came back and it's like, oh, you are better now than you were before. The mission helps.
It is concerning, but not because of the product on the field. It's concerning because who the hell are we giving scholarships to? Like, I love BYU's walk-on program and I have faith anytime a walk-on shows up, but like, guys, then use that scholarship. Like, if you're so confident in your walk-ons, then dream big and go for the 4 or 5 stars deep defensive ends out of the transfer portal, like Tyson Williams, that have no business coming to BYU, but somehow come to BYU anyways. Like, who are the scholarships going to if all these walk-ons keep popping up? That's the concerning part.
Yeah. And I think he will get them a lot of snaps, but I don't necessarily know that he'll maybe be a starter. And there obviously are, you know, a give him hell athlete, Lorenzo Fawotea. But he is kind of slimmed down. Like, Lorenzo in play,
he's playing outside.
He's fully moved outside, or is he flipping back and forth, kind of doing both?
No, he's playing outside and he's pumped about it. That's the position he grew up playing. That's what he was recruited as initially.
He's still listed at 6'4", 300. So he won't.
And that isn't true. He told me, I talked with him just a couple of days ago, and I think he's down to like 288. Like, okay. 290.
So
is what he thinks
he's slimmed up more, but he is more of, you know, where Tyler Batty is the slimmer, I'm going to be an edge rusher.
Yep.
Awatea is a true defensive end. And so how those shake out, you know, we know with having 47 different positions on the depth chart, like how snaps actually shake out will vary from game to game based on how they are used. Because even though they're both defensive ends, they will be used differently in different scenarios. But it's, I think though, that will be right. That will be the 5.
I agree.
Most like that will be the 5 kind of that are getting the bulk of it, with also, and the 6th guy would be Pepe Tonuvasa. And so, you know, those will be the 6 guys that get the bulk of the reps, at least to start the season.
I agree. And Pepe is, you know, that's a good pull, good name, because he's popped up a lot. Safeties. I think Chaz Ayu is penciled in as a starter. There's been rumors about Chaz and his eligibility, and there were some issues, but it sounds like everything has been worked through. He's going to be good to go. So I think we can ignore those rumors, put those to bed. Chaz Ayu, and who do you think starts on the other side at free safety? I mean, the easy pick is Malik Moore, but I don't know if he starts.
I guess, is it Malik Moore or is George Udo really ready to go?
Well, even if George Udo is ready to go, I'm not convinced that he plays free safety. I don't think he's fast enough. I really, the name that I continue to hear is Ethan Slade. And I don't know if he's going to start. I think he's cemented himself in the 2-deep after his camp performance. But I haven't heard I haven't heard anything negative about Malik Moore, but I haven't heard a ton of positive things either. I just haven't really heard about him.
Right.
And I've heard a ton of positive about Ethan Slade. And if Ethan Slade is ready to go, I could see a world where he starts alongside Chaz Ayu. And that would be another walk-on that is, you know, making a lineup, and it'd be a little bit weird. But he was a baller at Orem. And if he's balled out after his mission, I don't really have a reason.
Yeah. I don't
to doubt him if the coaches have seen enough. I think he has the talent and ability.
Right. So who else kind of, I guess, who would be next? So I guess if we said the four, rounding out the two deep, right, you're saying Slade, Moore, one way or the other, Chaz Ayu, obviously. And who else are we lumping in there at safety? Like, is D'Angelo Mandale going to get moved over and get some run at safety? Is it going to be, obviously Jared Kapisi is still in the program. Jacques Wilson is back.
I don't see, you know, I really don't see, we have to think of who the coach is. Who's coaching the safeties? It's Ed Lamb. And Ed Lamb, he trusts his development, and he's pretty good at it, especially in the safety position. Unless there's an injury or two, I know that it seems like an easy decision to move some guys over, and Kalani alluded to it that they could. But in my mind, Ed Lamb is going to feel pretty solid about one of either Jared Kapisi, who I would feel meh on, or Hayden Livingston, Ammon Hanneman, or Dean Jones. Like some of these, you know, lightly recruited guys that just work their tails off. That's kind of what Ed Lamb has made a career off of. And I think it would be one of those guys who slots in before somebody like D'Lo or whoever else moving over from the corner spot. Whether that's the call I would personally make, I don't think I would. I think I would move talent over. But knowing what we know about Coach Lamb, I think he would probably throw in a guy like Dean Jones before moving somebody out of the corner position.
And Dean Jones we've heard his name a few times come out of camp, and he's kind of been mentioned a couple times by coaches, and he's been a surprise, right? But I think it's, you know, when you look at the safety position just really hasn't been talked about. Like, it's not, people have been so focused on the quarterback position and so focused on like, oh yeah, Chaz Ayu play safety. I almost kind of like forgot that there's a whole other half of the defensive backfield there to worry about and fill. And, you know, and it's who is going to fill that. And it's not like the coaches haven't been pressed on it. There haven't been a lot of comments about it. Every clip that you watch, like the rotation going through is like a million deep of, you know, like you never, it's not like you say, oh, like, you know, oh, it seems like he's in more of the clips than everybody else. So you can probably guess, like, it's just kind of, that's probably been the biggest mystery coming out of camp is what is that safety rotation or who is going to get the bulk of those snaps opposite of Chaz Ayu.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And the other thing we know about Coach Lamb is when the depth chart gets released, don't believe any of it. That's the other thing we know. Corners, who are your two? Let's just pick two. Let's assume the nickel is a rotational guy, you know, Shamon Willis or something like that. Like, forget the nickel. Let's just say two corners.
It's going to be Keenan Ellis on one side. The other side, is Micah Harper fully cleared yet? Even if he is, he will still be kind of hobbled. I think it's probably going to be Caleb Hayes, the transfer from Morgan State.
I agree. I think it'll be Caleb Hayes and Keenan Ellis. I think Keenan Ellis is going to run away as the best corner on the team. Caleb Hayes is very, very good. Isaiah Heron and D'Lo are my two behind them, and pick a side, it doesn't matter. That's a good quartet. And then Micah Harper, I haven't heard his name. I haven't heard if he's cleared. I know that he's like posted pictures and stuff that makes it look like he's cleared, but I haven't heard for sure that he is or isn't. So I don't know what to really expect there.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect either. I mean, obviously there have been clips in camp of, Quentin Rice has made a few plays. Jacob Robinson is on the roster now. Jacques Wilson was banged up last year, but he's another good athlete. Shamon Willis has gotten run the last 2 years. And then Jalen Vickers is in there as well, like back on the rest home from his mission and playing again now. And obviously you got George Udo, who got time at both corner and safety, and a little bit of running like that nickel, like hybrid position, which is probably that's the best spot for him to play, is that hybrid position. But so there's a lot of bodies there, but it definitely is Keenan Ellis and and D'Angelo Mandel also, like, is no slouch, who's done great in his, you know, the time that he's gotten. So it definitely, I think, is Keenan Ellis and Caleb Hayes will be the lockdowns there that are going to be the bulk of the rotation.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And the good thing about this opening game for BYU is that Arizona is suck, trash, awful, bad. They are not good. They don't have a quarterback. They have two quarterbacks. And neither
which
one
means
of them,
you have no quarterbacks.
Yes, which is true. And their choice of the two, they had Jordan McLeod, who BYU saw a little bit of before he got hurt against USF a couple of years ago, who's a mobile guy. But Jed Fish has elected that his two quarterbacks are not Jordan McLeod. It is Gunnar Cruz and Will Plummer, who neither of them are statues, but they are not mobile guys. So you've got a two quarterback system down there in Arizona with two quarterbacks who are kind of the same. It's going to be fascinating to see how that plays out. I think that team's going to be a mess. I like Jed Fish way more than I thought I would, as I've listened to him and you learn a little bit more about his philosophies. I love, love, love Don Brown. We've talked about Don Brown. I think he's a fabulous defensive coordinator, but they got a long road ahead of them before they're winning football games. And in week one, outside of the element of surprise, they don't have much going for them. And so BYU, if they can't solidify some of these position battles here in the next week, I think that this game will lend itself an opportunity to kind of figure out some of these position battles. So
yeah,
that's good. So, Arizona sucks. That's also good.
Yeah. So Will Plummer last year, I mean, Grant Gunnell was the starter. He transferred to Memphis. And after he got hurt, Will Plummer came in, played in three games last year, was 43 of 80 for 388 yards, no touchdowns, and three interceptions. So 54% completion, you can't decide, a 0%, zero touchdown to interception ratio, and average 4.9 yards per attempt. Not good. Gunnar Cruz is a transfer from Washington State. He obviously transferred, and because he did not get a lot of playing time at Washington State. And I think he was only at Washington State for 1 year and then transferred.
I don't know. He might have been there for the COVID. I don't know. I can't remember.
So he, hold on, I'm pulling up his 24/7. Let's see. He was part of class of 2019. So he like redshirted in 2019, then got his COVID year, and then now transferred to Washington, to Arizona, and is a redshirt freshman after he got beat out by a true freshman, Jaden Delora, at Washington State. So it's neither of them are, you know, inspiring a ton of, you know, no one's inspiring a ton of confidence in either guy. And the fact that neither of them separated themselves at all is concerning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Completely agree. So good opportunity for BYU to make it's a P5 win. And as much as we all hate it, that matters, right? So make a statement win to start off the season. Good opportunity for Jared Hall. We'll have a ton more on Arizona coming up next week. But for now, suffice to say, every indication is that they will suck. The last thing we really want to talk about is just a couple of injury rumors. Well, I guess we have one more thing, but we talked about Chaz IU. Sounds like he's going to play. Injury rumors, you know, Puka Nacua, lots of rumors floating around. Sounds like he has a hamstring injury, and hamstrings are funny, right? Like sometimes even severe hamstring injuries, guys are able to get back on the field in 3-4 weeks. Other times they linger for a whole season, like it did with Gunnar Romney during his freshman season. And even if he's on the field, it's debilitating. So TBD on the severity, and obviously the coaches aren't going to talk much about it, but it sounds like Puka's going to miss at least a couple of weeks. Fortunately, that is a position group that BYU could afford to have an injury or two on, and they have an injury or two with Puka. And then Samson is still trending towards playing, but has not been full go yet. And here we are a week away from traveling down to Vegas. So there's some issues on the injury front, mostly at the wide receiver position. Everything else appears to be pretty okay.
That's good. I mean, there isn't the only major injuries, right? As Braden Cosper, broken arm, he's done for the year. He had flashes in camp. He had flashes in camp last year, but he still was kind of buried. Like, he would probably be like the fifth or sixth guy on that receiver depth chart. And this staff is kind of shown, like, you know, last year you had Romney, Milne, and Pau, who got like 80% of the reps, right? Like, they're not doing the Robert and I, you know, rotating 700 receivers. You're going to have one really good receiver and then a bunch of guys with 400 yards, right? You know, 300 yards spread across eight different receivers. Like, that's not the way this staff operates. And then, you know, Miles Davis with his foot, it will be out for a bit, you know, but even then, he was fighting to be the third or fourth running back behind Katoa and Algier, and you still have Hinkler Rapati, Jackson McChesney, and Sione Finau on the roster. So both of those, it's not like they're Puka being out for a couple weeks is the first like, oh, this really sucks injury that we've had, and to have just one and just in the receiver's position, this is a very, very good camp, right? And so it's you know, we were coming out of camp extremely healthy.
Yep. And that's a good thing. I'm watching an ad for a cubed pillow right now, and I am incredibly intrigued. I don't feel like I can justify the cost, but I want to walk you through this, Garrett. So the idea is that a regular pillow, it's round, and your neck always has a little bit of a kink in it when you're laying on it. And that's true. I have felt that kink many, many times. But this cubed pillow, is like a square thing.
And it says for side sleepers to keep your neck more neutral.
Yeah. I don't know. It's obviously an ad. It's meant to be compelling, but I'm pretty damn compelled.
I mean, are you going to buy one?
Well, I'm looking at the cost.
And it's $60.
They're not cheap.
Okay. But let's hop over to Amazon and find the Chinese knockoff cube memory foam.
This is important stuff, folks. Like, I know I'm not the only. Hey,
you can get one for $29.90. Oh, there's one $16.45 on Amazon.
I don't want to go with the cheapest one. Do you really think that that's good quality?
It's memory foam. It's all coming from the same factory.
Well, okay.
It's just a giant block of foam.
I made another purchase on Amazon today. I put it into a little video and tweeted it out in response to a tweet. In celebration of Jaren Hall being the starting quarterback and rocking a new mustache and a gold chain, I bought a gold chain. I've already got a mustache. Didn't have to buy that, but I did need to buy a gold chain. It was a cheap gold chain, and I'm not entirely sure if it's going to actually wrap itself around my neck, and I know that I can't pull it off, but I'm going to do it.
As long as you embrace it, right? Like, I mean, can DJ Khaled really pull off his gold chain, or are we just used to it? If you do it long enough, you'll get used to it.
Where did you find a cube pillow for cheap? What did you search for?
I just searched cube memory foam pillow on Amazon.
Ah, that's the memory foam. Not an endorsement, not an ad, but I'll let you know. I will return and report on the foam pillow, because I am going to purchase it, because I'm fat and I do sleep on my side and I get a kinked neck. And if this fixes that, you need to send me a link though, because I'm getting different search results. So I need you to help me out here.
I will send you how do you miss this? I searched
cube. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm on my phone. You're on a laptop. Maybe it's pulling back.
I mean, there's literally like hundreds of options here. So here, I'll send you. I'll find one that's moderately priced with a decent number of reviews.
I appreciate that. The last thing on our agenda here is Cougar Day. And if you want to get your special somebody a cubed pillow for Cougar Day, maybe that is the purchase for them. And you can put a nice BYU pillowcase on it. That's going to be the challenging part. How do I find a pillowcase for this?
open up this link. I sent it to you on our Discord. Jeff did laugh today that we noticed at one point today, he had shared a video with me on TikTok. I had messaged him directly on Discord because you can do like public things or send a DM. We had a Twitter DM because he shared a tweet. One of us shared a tweet with each other, plus a text message. Did we talk on Instagram? We had five different conversations going at a time. But let me show. I just look at this. Oh, that didn't taste well. If you look at like the second to last picture in this,
what is this porn pillow that you sent me?
I don't know. That was the one with the good reviews. I just opened it. It's a little scandalous for the Amazon ad.
It is,
but Cougar Day. Okay, so I did my Cougar Day shopping already. I went to the bookstore earlier this month last time I was up here in Utah, and I've got my clothes. I have Christmas stockings. I have BYU Christmas stockings that we will put out. I will help my daughter write a letter to Cosmo. I will get up in the morning next Saturday before I leave to go to Vegas, and I will go buy some maple donuts for Cosmo and snacks, like an Easter basket. So maple donuts for breakfast, so everyone has a cougar tail, and an Easter basket, stocking full of different game day snacks and treats and things to eat during the game, and new clothes for the season and other sorts of BYU paraphernalia to start and ring in the new year by Cosmo making his stop at our house. And he stops at the houses of all good little Cougar fans all across the globe to bring them new things. And I've heard people call it Cougsmas. That's just wrong. No, don't say that. It's Cougar Day.
Oh, that's weird. It's Cougar
Day. You can't try to force holiday names like that. That feels too forced. It's got to be just a natural.
It's the same as the people who are up in arms that the elk is taking off and sticking. It's the people who are like, oh, his last name is Rex. Why are we not calling him T-Rex or I-Rex and Dominus Rex? That's just a pun. It's a crappy pun. New names need to live on their own. If they're good enough, they live on their own. And making it Cougarmas, that's a pun. We're not here for puns. Cougar Day is a glorious day, and it is good enough that it is worthy of its own name. It doesn't have to be knockoff Christmas. It's friggin' Cougar Day.
Right. And so, it's good in that it's also generic enough. Like I've told friends, like I've got, a couple of friends who are a good friend of mine is a Clemson fan and a Clemson alum. And I told him about it, and he was like, oh, that's awesome. I'm going to do Tiger Day. And the tiger, that their mascot doesn't have a name. It's just the tiger. And he's like, the tiger's going to come to my house. And he did the same thing. I've talked to people from other schools, and they're like, oh, this is great. Like, even I was talking, some of the friends that I have or guys that I know that are 49ers fans, when I had my season tickets out there, their big day, I mean, they don't do it at the start of the season, but I told some people like, oh, we're going to do that because they're the Charlotte 49ers. And so they were like, oh, their mascot, Norm the Niner. Like they did the same thing with their kids on April 9th because the date was 4-9, like it's 49er day. And so like it can be applied to every school and is not this like forced punny name. Just embrace it for what it is. It's a day to celebrate the Cougars, and it is not the birth of anything. It is not celebrating historical birth. It's just, it is the day that we are here and we are going to eat an enormous amount of food. We are going to teach our kids that they must behave. Otherwise Cosmo will skip their house. And that is way more important than Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny or the Tooth Fairy. All of them combined, Cosmo is the most important. And it's Cougar Day.
Couldn't say it any better myself. So please, people, buy our stuff. Buy stuff for Cougar Day. You can buy an Isaac Rex shirt from givehemhellbrigham.com for Cougar Day.
We have all Give Him Heck shirts available in infant, toddler, and youth sizes.
That's
so
true.
So if you want to have a euphemism there for your little one.
You want a primary aged appropriate shirt? We've got it. We've got it all. This has been a fun episode, man. And it feels like we've been on the phone for like 3 hours because we kind of have. But this has been a quality episode. And I'm excited about it. I'm also excited that we have our new motto. So everybody, spread your legs, not COVID.
Spread your legs, not COVID.
And give them hell.
And give them hell. This was a great episode. And next time we talk, Jeff, it's going to be game week. The off season is officially over. It can be put to bed.
Oh, thank goodness.
Hallelujah. Until next week, give them hell.